The buns. Turn it up and rip the knob off. You like that, Daddy?
Oh.
Where's Roy Mills? I figured he would have been a good guy for this.
Yeah, we were doing this.
He's in solitary because of Trump. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Roy Mills.
That's a racist. A racism joke.
He's inconsolable.
There we go. Okay.
Yeah.
Little racism for you.
In the morning.
He's hey, you're welcome.
Racism in the morning.
Not even the Trump.
Right.
Whoa.
Okay.
All
right. So next subject, slavery.
All right.
So real intro. Yeah.
We are ready. All right. So welcome in friends, family, cohorts, coworkers, people that know us, people that don't know us, people in Russia, Jamaica, our one friend in North Korea who somehow got internet access. It could be, I don't want to say anything. It could be Kim Jong-un, but if it is, welcome into the fort today. We appreciate you listening. We have a,
it's his assistant that got fucked by Seth Rogen.
It could be. Yeah. But we've got a nice little podcast here, a nice group of friends in the tree fort. It's loaded with talent. It's loaded with girth. We've got four just dripping hog studs here. So it is myself, Philip Bowen. We've got Joseph Johnson, not to be confused with Joseph Johnson. We've got Joey Berries, and we also have Stevie P. Mr. Mechanical Bull himself.
Thanks for the intro,
dude.
All right, fuck you.
Would love that back.
Okay. Which one?
About an hour ago, I wrote a Mechanical Bull in my. I don't know if I can have any more kids. I'll just put it that way.
Is that what you call your wife?
No. In that scenario, I'm the Mechanical Bull. You overestimate the amount of effort I put in.
Yeah. Well, for the other piece of backstory, last night we went out because a certain Joe John being in town, we hit the town, went to the local watering holes, and I was like, you know what? I got these overalls from my Halloween costume. And I got a lot of good feedback.
You didn't tell me that's what they were from.
What? Yeah, it was my.
You didn't tell me that's. I had these overalls.
That was my
Canadian tuxedo.
That was my Halloween costume. No, I wore my overalls. I wore a thin hoodie underneath, not a hoodie, but like just a
blue hoodie.
And went out with.
And a red hat.
My Cincinnati Reds hat on, my sneakers, went out, hit the town.
Did people think you were Lenny from Of Mice and Men?
Not quite.
So somebody did call me Lenny at the office for Halloween, and I was pretty pissed about that one. But at the bar.
So you didn't go blackface?
No, I did not.
Okay.
No.
What is Justin Trudeau as Robert Downey Howard from Tropic Thunder?
So at the bar, while everybody was closing their tabs, I'm just standing there by myself, and some girl is like trying to get by. She goes, "Excuse me, Mario," because I had a Cincinnati Reds hat on, and I had my overalls on. And I was like, oh, sorry. And I was like,
I was in the back.
I was like, fuck you.
I came back Mario. A few later, he told me that. I just started dying because I did not see it. I was like, I'm sorry. That's honestly on me for letting you go out like that.
Now I'm never wearing those overalls ever again.
I'm dying. It was so funny.
Dude.
RIP overalls.
You've been like,
uncultured.
Excuse me, lady. I'll clean your pipes.
That's what I should have said.
Well, I said I should have asked if you were, if she was Princess Peach. And then she's
like, no problem, Waluigi. Like,
no. Yeah.
Then I would, no problem, Wario.
Then I've been real, what I would have said. Sad boy.
Yeah, because I'm about to go Donkey Kong on that box.
Donkey Kong on those cheeks. Anywho.
So anyway, what are we doing tonight?
So today... We've got
just playing Smash Bros.
Yeah.
Playing other Mario than, Golf till the sun comes up.
Other than
that's the best one, Smash Bros. Sorry.
Other than playing Smash Bros. We are talking about movies. So we've got our resident movie expert Joey Berry's here. And instead of a specific movie in general, we are going to do kind of a merging of topics. We're doing movie characters that people hate, but the stipulation is they cannot be the antagonist. And we'll get into that in a moment.
But this is one of the best ideas that you've ever had. I got to be honest with you. I'm extremely excited. You told me about it earlier this week. I've thought about nothing else besides this hour and a half that we're about to spend together.
I am rock hard. But anyway... So we're taking the movie characters and we're creating a Mount Rushmore. Now, we all have a couple characters in our holster that we want to bring up and talk about. And basically, we're going to put it on the table and think, all right, who is on that Mount Rushmore? Okay. So with that being said, the movie characters that people hate that are not the antagonist or villain. So this is a character in the movie that might have been a love interest, might have been a family member, might have been a teammate who just sucked. So
you could have been a nagging wife, could have been a stepchild,
could have been all those.
Lady Gaga and Joker 2. Episode over.
I didn't watch it yet.
I heard it sucked. And unfortunately, bad. The reviews have been so bad, I'm like, I don't want to waste my money on it. So I'll just wait until it streams.
The reviews that say it's so bad, it's not even worth watching.
Oh, the movie?
The Joker 2.
Joker 2. Like a musical. Yeah.
I was so excited about it, too.
Yeah.
What a shame.
I know, the first one was really good.
I saw the original in a theater in Lansing, Michigan by myself at 10 a.m. Don't ask me why.
How? Matinee prices?
Of course, matinee prices. Yes.
Yes.
Of course. You gotta save the money wherever you can.
Hell yeah. And what a deal. The first Joker movie was fantastic.
In this economy? Yeah. Okay, so... I think great examples. Is somebody getting murdered?
It should cut out.
Watching Gilmore Girls. I'm going to mute myself when I'm not talking.
Yeah, you're good. I think we do have a feature on here that should help cut that out afterwards. Okay. So it should be okay.
I can edit it too. I can as long as there's individual audio clips.
Joey Berry's is watching Gilmore Girls.
I'm not watching Gilmore Girls.
Okay.
Honestly. Pretty good show.
Sure.
Not going to lie.
Okay. So
I'll just say, do you want to start with an easy one to kind of give everyone an idea?
Let's dive in. Let's say, don't give me your number one right now. Just give me a character and I'll start with this person who's probably number three on my list. So the movie is Saving Private Ryan.
Private Ryan.
well, I mean,
Saving Ryan's Privates, right?
Shaving Ryan's Privates. I mean, Ryan himself could actually be one, but I'm talking about Upham. So Upham is the translator that they get after Normandy. The guy that's like, oh, can I bring my typewriter? Like, no, you can't bring your typewriter. Like, we're like capturing Europe. So just pack light. But Upham, he giant vagina. And he is the one that when they get to the radio satellite, and there's a bunch of dead cows, and then the like the paratroopers like just rotting, they take the tower, and Wade dies, and that is Giovanni Ribisi. And there's one German that they like have captured, and they're like beating the crap out of him. They go to kill him, and Upham's like, no, we can't, it's against the rules, we can't do it. And he's like big advocate for the German. So that part in the movie, you're just like, okay, whatever. But then it gets to the final battle, and Mellish and one of the other teammates is in like the house, and the German comes up. The one teammate gets hit in the neck, and Mellish, him, they're like fighting the Nazi and Mellish, and he stabs him. And Upham's just sitting in the stairwell crying, doing nothing while his teammates are dying.
Yeah, and when Adam Goldberg gets stabbed through the chest, it's one of the worst parts of the movie to watch. Every time I watch that movie, like I try and not catch that part, because not only is it like a terrible death, but then you just want that little dweeb to get his too, and the German soldier just walks by and lets him live. Yeah. I don't understand that. We all wanted to see him die.
Honestly, for like 15 years, I would not watch that movie because of that part. Like, it just pissed me off. And then, you know, later in the movie, without spoiling the end for anyone who hasn't seen it, but Upham has made some bad decisions, and that German ends up killing somebody important. And it's like, you could have just killed him and not dealt with it, but you ruined the movie. He survives. He's one of the biggest weasels. Upham sucks.
He does. He does. Yeah. Good. Good call. You could possibly put him on the Mount Rushmore.
We could. And that's, I feel like there's got to be more shittier people. That's why he was like, he was my third. So
I wanted to clarify. And I think this could be up for interpretation. Sure. When you told me about this category of what we're doing today, I didn't know how necessarily to go about, like, is this the most annoying character? Is this the shittiest character? Is it all encompassing? How did you guys go about creating your lists?
Characters that I just genuinely disliked, like, not because they're the bad guy, but just like because they either stopped progress in the story, they were selfish and just like a bad character, I don't have a ton of examples. I was struggling with this, but even if the actor is just like super unlikable,
maybe like unnecessary to the plots.
Poorly written doesn't add much to the plot, or just asshole.
Yeah,
just frustrating.
You could probably go up in volume, buddy.
Who?
DVP.
DVP.
Oh,
this is better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was saying people that either don't add anything to the plot, poorly written, or just straight up assholes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they just ruined the dynamic of the show or the movie.
That's
what I'm going for.
And when I thought of it, it was like the people that when you think about the movie, you're like, wow, that person fucking sucks.
Yeah, it's like my least favorite part of the movie, sort of thing.
Yeah. And it's like, if that person would have just got their crap together, this movie would have been so much different.
Yeah.
And you'll hear that when I get to my number one and my number two, because I hate them and hope nothing good ever happens to them.
Well, this is kind of, it's tough for me to weed this down because I had 16 people on my list. I really went ham when I thought about this. I went over some of my favorite movies and was just like, okay, I'm gonna look at like 100 of my most favorite movies and think of like, okay, that's a clear standout. And then I ended up with like 16 characters. So,
okay.
It might be tough. I want to throw this one in there because I think it might not be one that you guys have. Yeah. But since we're coming up towards this, not my number one, could make a case for my number one, but it's not. Since we're coming up to Christmas time, any fans of the Polar Express?
Nah, I mean, it's a movie.
I've watched it.
I don't really rewatch movies like that.
Well, you don't have kids, so it's one of our favorites. And there's the kid. I don't even think he has a name. It's just known as the Know-It-All. He, he's got the glasses. He turns around and talks like this. And like, he is the most annoying part of the entire movie. And like, he's a know-it-all. Nobody likes a know-it-all. He's a dweeb. He has this insanely annoying voice. He tries to disobey Santa's rules and open his gifts before Christmas time. He's a necessity to the movie, but he's easily my least favorite part of the movie. So I wanted to throw him in there.
He's a classic antichrist.
He's probably... Wait, actually, I almost said something really bad.
I knew exactly where you were going.
the Kyle Broslovsky.
Route. He's some other denominational religion. Yeah. Okay, that's a good one. Let's hear it from Stevie.
So the one that stood out to me the most, because it's my favorite movie of all time, it's not as historic probably, but Interstellar, my favorite movie ever.
Okay.
And my least favorite character is Matthew McConaughey's son, Tom.
Oh.
He's such a little shit. Like he adds nothing to the plot besides making things more difficult for everybody. He has no personality besides just grumpy old man. That's his vibe basically the entire movie for me.
Yeah.
And it's
poor.
Now, correct, because you were big into Interstellar fan. Was this was Timothy Chalamet younger and then Casey Affleck older?
Exactly.
Okay.
It's just that he could not be in that movie and what would change? Positive changes, if anything. If there's any change at all to the plot, to the movie.
To be honest, I totally forgot that he had a son in the movie.
Well, you're right, because most of the dynamic is with his daughter.
Exactly, daughter, yeah. Right? And all he does is just make things more difficult for the daughter. And I feel like they could have done away with his character altogether.
Could you argue that Matt Damon?
I would consider him an antagonist.
Or would you call him
because he is like that. You can't have Interstellar without his storyline playing a part.
Or would you consider the environmental challenges that they face the antagonist?
I would. No.
Nothing's growing.
That sets the environment, literally and figuratively. You know, I wouldn't consider that. I would say the antagonist is Matt Damon. And I would say, I would make an argument. What's the old British guy's name?
Kane.
Michael Caine.
I would honestly consider him an antagonist because you find out towards the end of the movie that he's lying the entire time. It's insolvable. Yep. There was no plan A. It's been plan B the whole time. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, it's a fine line when defining the antagonist. That's why I sort of steered clear of the clear. Well, not clear, but like the ones who are directly opposed to the protagonist and thwarting their efforts.
That's the category I would put Matt Damon in. Because he did come to mind, but he's a very clear adversary of the main characters. for however limited sure. time.
Yeah, it's too easy because he's if he's a clear adversary, the audience isn't going to like him naturally.
Right.
He did kill that role.
Joe John, what do you? Yeah,
he kills every role. God love him.
Well, you took the two easy ones that I would actually know. But when we were talking about earlier, the one solid one that I found when I was looking online, and I've watched this movie, not a ton, but was it Grandpa Joe from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory?
Yes.
He might have been my number one.
He's like, oh, really? I've seen memes about this before, but he's like paralyzed his whole life, and then as soon as Charlie gets the ticket, he just sprouts up, starts running around. Kind of a piece of shit.
Hold on, I need to pause for a second because the echo between you and Bowden is ripping me out.
Oh, here, I'm talking too loud. Let me just talk quieter.
Or
what did you say?
It seems like Joe John's on a little bit of a delay.
It's not. It's just
he's
going through Philip Bowden's mic too.
Oh,
I'll just try and talk quieter because it wasn't a problem until now.
What's funny though is you're coming through Bowden's mic before your own.
Interesting. Let's see.
So I actually wanted to follow up on that. So, who would you guys consider the antagonist in Willy Wonka? Because I also had Veruca Salt as one of those characters that. That like you hate. She could be sort of considered an antagonist.
Yeah, I would.
You would?
Yeah. I mean, all of the kids that aren't Charlie, I would.
Yeah. Okay. Because if not, then yeah, I would consider one of the top child's most annoying characters in a movie ever.
Yeah, Veruca and Mike 25. Mike TV, yeah.
Yeah, Mike 25. That's real. Could you imagine how bad must that bed smell that all four grandparents were bedridden in?
Yeah, for years.
Just lice all over it.
Yeah.
Roaches.
Yeah.
Pee stains. And then he takes the fizzy lifting drink.
Maybe a little cum stain, too. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Mr. Wonka himself is the main antagonist.
Main antagonist.
Is that what you think?
Think about it.
He's not, though. He gives Charlie the factory. But Grandpa Joe, so to reiterate Joe John's point, like the one part, like, yeah, the fizzy lifting drink, and he's just like, oh, who cares? And it's like, he's awfully spry for somebody that's been in bed for 20 years and like doesn't contribute to the overall well-being of the household. And it's like, oh, if a loaf of bread is a banquet, I don't have any right. Getting tobacco.
Like, he also smoking.
He yeah. You're so you're giving everybody secondhand smoke. You're, you know, God knows what goes on when the lights go out in that bedroom scenario.
How about we take a little bit of that tobacco money and buy some loaves of bread or some soup for my family? Right.
Yeah. Or like.
Or a bar of soap.
So let me ask you, people that are married, would your parents and your in-laws share a bed like that? Because isn't like Charlie's dad dead? And like, like, why are his parents in bed with your mom's parents?
Maybe they all shared polio. I don't know.
It's just, there's a lot of questions, but just the very end when like, the very
it's a conspiracy end, theory episode.
Yes. When he's like, you know, oh, just forget this guy. Let's go sell that to Slugworth. Like, you old crotchety little old man just making your grandson be bad. And then, like, good thing Charlie had the moral fiber. So, yeah, I did like that one. But so. Of any of those four, I mean, I know that we did like kind of a softball there. Would any of them go on the Mount Rushmore? do we have four worst?
You have to fight for.
So if you've got 16, like, did you rank them?
Not really. No, I just jotted them down. Figured in my.
You want a rapid fire?
Yeah, you just throw a couple more.
I have a lot. So you can go through a couple more.
Phil, do you want me to start, or do you want to go?
Yeah. Hit me since you got like 16. Give me the bottom, or give me the
four. I want to hear the top ones.
First four.
You mean the four best?
The four. I want to hear your top.
Give me four. Who you think are the four worst.
Meaning like the ones that could possibly get on the Mount Rushmore.
I think if we whittle your list down to eight, I've got my now two.
Okay.
You got two more.
So, yeah.
All right. So.
Okay.
I think we'll throw. So, any Harry Potter picks?
Yes.
Dolores Umbridge. So, the professor in the short bit.
She's the main antagonist of that movie, though. That specific movie. Because she's the first one that comes to my mind in Harry Potter. She plays that role so well. I cannot stand
I guess you have to say that, yeah. Voldemort? She is directly in opposition to Harry.
And that is a great call, though. If we didn't have that stipulation of main antagonist, she would be top two of my Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah. You just saw that name a lot
on the list I was looking up.
Yeah. This might fall under the same category as that. Percy from the Green Mile.
Wait, hold on. I'm drawing a blank.
So he is, once again, he's sort of in opposition to Tom Hanks the entire time, but he's not really the antagonist of the movie. It's
Sam Rockwell.
Sam Rockwell, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what I said. If we don't think that he's the antagonist, but I think by definition we've already defined it as he's probably considered the antagonist. The characters that we should be naming are those who are a subservient role or a main role, but really don't add to the movie, or we just hate, or just makes the movie much worse.
Yes. Well, I mean, once we start getting into my two, those people are pretty big deals.
Let me give you my next one. I think this might help kind of push some creative thinking. And this might not be very popular, but... My next one is Seth from Superbad, Jonah Hill.
I fucking hate
him in that movie. That's he is such a terrible friend. He is an asshole to almost every person he interacts with. And to be honest with you, if he wasn't in the movie, yes, it might not have played out the same way, but I feel I would love it all the same because the characters I love in that movie are basically everybody but him.
It's so funny because like you're absolutely right, but it's Jonah Hill, so like I feel like he's universally loved, so people tend to still love that character and root for that character. But you're absolutely right. Like I feel like the more sympathetic character is definitely either Michael Cera or it's
absolutely. I would say Michael Cera. He's like the kind of kid you want to protect at all costs.
You know that's Seth Rogen, right?
What?
Say that again?
You know that is Seth Rogen.
You mean in the movie?
So Seth Rogen and...
Oh, wrote it after himself, yes.
Yes. That, and Evan, is that... He's not Evan Goldberg too, is he?
I don't know... If Michael Cera is supposed to be Evan Goldberg or not, I have no idea.
Well, it's Evan. It's his other writer, So they wrote that movie together, and they kept the names the same. So like Jonah Hill is playing Seth Rogen like in real life. So
it kind of makes sense because Seth Rogen, although I love some of his movies, drives me nuts.
He
drives me nuts.
But yeah, like Seth Rogen's character in Freaks and Geeks when he was in high school. He was kind of like that. That was a very non-relatable kind of hated character.
Like, could you imagine being friends with someone that much of a douche, just consistently, without fail?
I know. Every day with Joey Berries.
I was going to say, I see a lot of Seth in myself.
Yeah. It's tough. Imagine growing up with that guy.
Trying to find discount jerk off websites. Pass along to Phil Boughton.
Like Perfect 10.
Could be a bowling website.
Could be a bowling website.
I know.
Ever seen a vagina by itself?
Speaking of the argument that you made for that, I think that's something that not many people, like when you're scouring websites, the top 20 most hated characters or most annoying characters or whatever, like you would never think of Seth. And I think it's
I tried to stick with characters that I felt wouldn't come to mind right away for people, just to keep it interesting. Yeah. He came to my mind almost right away when I thought, who's something that many people probably wouldn't go for?
Yeah. I wonder if you could do like Danny McBride in This Is the End.
Ooh.
He's the antagonist. He's the antagonist. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I call him Channing Tate Young.
Channing Tate Young. All right. I think I might have a decent winner here.
Okay.
Tommy from Shawshank Redemption. The is kid
really
okay gets gunned down.
Yeah, yeah.
He's so
naive,
annoying, dumb.
Yeah.
Are we sure that he was even telling the truth?
What
about his cellmate?
Why would he lie about that?
Well, the warden put up a pretty good case for him to lie. He was, he saw that his friend who had just helped him out was down, and he thought he'd lift his spirits with the story. Oh boy, little Sunday night football.
Gonna shut us down.
Meth streams.
But I guess my point is, too, when watching Shawshank Redemption, the Tommy part is probably my least favorite part. It's the part that I always either fast through or try and skip right over. It doesn't really do much for me other than when he eventually gets gunned down by the warden.
Well, I think it's supposed to be the trigger for Andy to leave.
I think he has a purpose. For sure, yeah. Like that's.
But yes, you're right. It doesn't contribute anything other than that. Like he knows, like he's not going to get out.
Yeah. Well, so. it's my favorite movie of all time, and that is my least favorite part of it. So I thought I'd throw him in there.
That's a good one. Yeah. So I don't know if I would. Give me some of your other ones there.
All right. Because I'm not going to reach.
I like these. I don't think they're on the level of hatred that I have for my two that I'm holding on to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know the two that you're going to say, and I'm actually not in. I don't have as much hatred for them as you do, but I'll wait for you. All right. Yeah. I'm going to throw this one out there because I know Phil is a big fan of the movie Hook.
Mm.
Jack. The son.
Yeah, I know, Jack.
Real piece of shit.
He's such
a crybaby.
Yeah.
He's such an annoying piece of shit. I get that he just wants the love from his father, but he goes to the side of Captain Hook.
Right.
Because his dad wasn't there to save him.
he seeks out the love of some pedophile pirate.
We've been there.
That's true. Lord knows I 2/3 of this podcast has been there.
horrible. But, yeah. 25% of one of us.
Yeah.
If I could save one of the kids in Hook, it would be the daughter. I wouldn't.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah, Jack sucks until like the end.
The kid can't even hit until the guy throws him a meatball.
Yeah. Run home, Jack.
Run home, Jack.
No, Smee.
You've got it back.
The best part about Hook is the boo box. I do that all the time.
The boo box. Yeah. You know, that's, you know who that the actor is?
Glenn Close.
Glenn Close. There you go. There you go.
Yes. And Jimmy Buffett. I almost said Warren Buffett. Jimmy Buffett's one of the pirates that has the shoes.
Steven Spielberg calls in a favor to Warren Buffett.
Yeah. Hey, can you be a pirate in Hook?
I think this is a universal one.
Okay.
Fabienne from Pulp Fiction. So Bruce Willis's wife or girlfriend who leaves the watch in the apartment. Any takers? She doesn't really speak great English. She has a pot belly, so she's not attractive.
Sounds like my kind of girl. Oh, never mind.
Yeah.
Doesn't speak English and a pot belly?
Yeah.
You should pay top dollar for those sort of things.
Yeah. Why do we hate this person?
No, I'm confused. They'll all be deported soon. Well, sorry, that was too much.
I think she was here legally, at least I hope. Bruce Willis asked her to bring one item: his father's watch. Don't forget the watch. She forgets the watch. Boom! John Travolta dies because of her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, was John
just throwing another one out there?
I could see the argument being made.
John Travolta dying, is that a big deal in that movie?
Kind of. He's like the main character.
You're John Travolta.
Yeah, okay.
We're ready for our first Mount Rushmore spot. We got enough names on the board. We have like good ones. We don't want to leave them out. We need at least one.
I like Grandpa Joe. I like Grandpa Joe.
For the fourth.
Yeah, it looks like that's in a lot of the articles. That was one of the top ones.
Put it on the board, Grandpa Joe, Mount Rushmore.
Now, who do we think he is?
Who do we think he is?
Teddy.
Yeah, George? He's Teddy. He's the one that. He's the one that barely made it on there.
Yeah, that's fair.
They're like, the national parks. Yeah, put him up there too. Freed the slaves, made the national parks.
Kind of looks like he smells.
Yeah. Yeah, put him up there. Okay. Grandpa Joe. So I'm putting one of my big dogs in here because I just want to. I'm going to go with probably, I don't know which one I hate more, but I think
it's tough.
It is tough. I do think I have heard people like, no, this one's not that bad. So I'm going to go Rose from Titanic.
She's on my list.
So
I didn't put her on my list because I knew she'd be on Phil Dalton's list.
Yeah. I fucking hate Rose. And
talk to it.
You ready for this? Ready. Number one, there was plenty of room on the door if she just moved her fat ass around and let Jack get up there.
Can I to that one?
You can.
So in the movie, he tries to get on, but realizes that it is going to tip over if he gets on it as well.
Because she was not on it right. There was an article a couple years ago that I read that was like 14 different positions on the door that it would have worked. It's like math and science have come together and created the ultimate fuck you, Rose. So while yes, he was a gentleman and was like, all right, you know, maybe I can't get on there initially, like maybe they could have took turns. But the biggest thing with that movie that pisses me off with her is when she's like standing on the back of the boat and she's gonna jump off because she's upset because she has to date freaking Billy Zane, which, give me a break. Billy Zane is a handsome ass man.
Dude. He's rich. He's handsome. He's probably got a sweaty hog in those pants.
I know. Yeah. I mean, he's got a great head of hair on him. Fantastic. Billy Zane. Big fan. But she's like, oh, I don't want to marry him. So she's going to jump off the back of the boat. And Jack saves her, talks her down. And while she's being talked down, she slips. Jack pulls her over the rail. And then, like, all these people are like, hey, this guy's trying to rape this girl. And it's like, no, he was saving her. And then he's not even the cop. I don't know what his role was, that douchebag. But the security guy, he was like, what's going on here? And, like, it looks like he was trying to get aggressive.
The professor from Secret of the Ooze.
Yes, that guy. and then it's like they literally have him in handcuffs. And they're like, all right, well, we're going to put him in jail because he was trying to rape this woman. And she's just not saying anything. So it's like all he had to do was be like, oh, my God, he saved me. I slipped. And she does eventually after like 8 minutes of people being like, what the hell? So that part, and then the very end, everybody I bring this up to is like, no, it's sweet. So she, first of all, has the heart of the ocean the entire time. She's on the goddamn boat, and the guy's like, we're trying to find the heart of the ocean. She has it.
The whole time. Bitch,
just give it up the whole time. And then she drops it in, and then she goes to bed or dies or whatever the hell she's doing. And all of the pictures behind her are just of her. Now, everybody is like, okay, well, that's because it's all the stuff that she told Jack she would do. It's like, cool. But if you're dying, where are the pictures of your family, your granddaughter that's with you, your husband that didn't die on the Titanic, you bitch? So fuck Rose.
I honestly feel it should be unanimous that Rose is the next on the Mount Rushmore. Does anyone disagree? Joey Berries, do you disagree?
Rose is at least.
Do you have a counter argument?
She's at least the Thomas Jefferson on the Mount Rushmore.
I don't understand why she's that bad. So she was embarrassed that she was basically attempting to commit suicide. So she didn't want to bring it up. It was back in the 1910s, which wasn't really a place where women could speak up, especially among authority. So maybe that was initially against Jack. She did eventually allow him to get free and get him a reward for it. And then with the heart of the ocean itself, I mean, she doesn't. What do you want to do? Give it to Bill Paxton? Like,
Bill Paxton is a gentleman.
She had a million opportunities to sell that thing if she wanted to for $1 billion, and she kept it forever because that was the heart that she had left in the ocean from Leo, and she returned it to him.
It wasn't his heart.
Let me.
But that's
if she loved him, she would have saved his life.
Let me say, I see the argument you're making, Joey Berries, and it makes sense.
So you're saying that she did everything that she did because she loved Jack, a guy that she met for 1.5 days and had sex with once in the back of
her once. That's very important. Yeah.
Are you trying to say that she was using Jack to get away from Billy Zane and was
They got somebody's Model T all disgusting. The back seat is just
she went dumpster diving and just you know.
She went slinging in the slums. She went
slumming on the Titanic.
But I disagree because why then would she hold on to the heart of the ocean for 100 years?
True. So she was that in love with somebody that she met and hooked up with for one day.
I fell in love with my wife before even sleeping with her one time.
What about her current husband? who I she had.
Rebound.
Good for you.
Rebound. He's the rebound.
Yeah.
Let me make a counter argument.
Well, okay. Let's
and then kill yourself. Then get off the damn door. If it's that big and all you just spent 84 years living in.
But then regret. Where's the plot go? She did it.
Who cares?
She those did suck. It for the movie.
She did it for the movie.
Listen, yeah. those were the first, like, not the first hits I've seen, but like sort of the first cinematic hits that I've seen. So yeah, she holds true. A little bit of a place in my heart.
That's true.
I don't know. It depends upon how we define this Rushmore, and maybe we need to go over that, litigate that a little bit more.
We can always bring it to the Order in the Fort.
Nudity to you?
If I like their tits. Oh.
Well, speaking of tits, let me make a counter argument here.
Her tits were really great.
They were.
Like, they're not good. All
they were,
that
they
bad.
Were great. They were great.
They weren't all that bad.
Hear me out, though.
Terrible
this is like Rose 2.0 in my mind, and it might be something you agree with, Mr. Barrys. Allie Hamilton, played by Rachel McAdams in The Notebook.
Oh.
I fucking hate her, dude. She made that entire movie is just based on her inability to commit. The entire fucking movie. Just fucking commit. You know what I mean? Like, just make a decision and stick with it.
Who are you talking to?
Wait, Stevie. My wife is the most indecisive person, like, ever. So, like, whenever I ask her, I'm like, hey, Cal, or Lynn, what would you like to eat? What would you like for dinner tonight? And she said, I don't know. I sent her the meme of, what do you want? God damn it, what do you want?
Just tell me what.
But do you see what I'm saying, though? She's literally a meme. The entire novel, the entire movie is based around her. If you boil it down, it's based on her inability to just commit, to make a decision and stick to it. She's like, oh, I don't know. I think I love you. Oh, I don't think I can love you. I think I need to go with this life. I need to make my parents happy, but I love you. I'm going to come back. Just kidding. I'm going to go back to the other guy and I'll eventually make it back to you. This dude literally bought and built the house of your dreams when you were fucking another dude for years.
This is a good one. Yeah.
I can't fucking stand her.
Would you pick James Marsden or would you pick Ryan Gosling? I would
100% pick
James Marsden. 100%. Yes.
Really?
Punky
man. I need a man with a spine.
He's a great guy.
He's the one dude to tell Rachel McAdams, hey, go fuck yourself. You love him? See ya.
He's not the typical trope in the movie where it's she's going to marry a rich banker who like kind of treats her like shit or like hates dogs. Or whatever, something like that.
He's a good guy.
Like, he's a good guy. Like, she had a real dilemma, a real quandary on her hands.
He handled it like a man, though. He was like, okay, you chose him. See ya. Love you. Have a good life. Handled it like a champ. Whereas Ryan Gosling is like, I'm going to build a house.
I'm just going to build this house.
The house. Yeah. She'll come back to me.
If you can build it.
She will come.
Can't stand her.
That was me.
Okay.
That's my only counter argument to Rose.
All right.
Would be Rachel McAdams.
I mean, I like that one also. So, else on the list do you have?
Well, they're not going to make the Hall of Fame, but I mentioned Anthony Rapp, who plays in Dazed Confused, in Rent, Road Trip, School Ties. He's one of those like actors that just sort of finds himself in these hateable roles. So I thought he was interesting because like I
most punchable actors.
Yeah. He's got a very punchable face. Like you could break those glasses very easily.
Yes.
Adrian from Rocky.
That was on the one.
She's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty bad. Just a wet blanket. There's many, many wet blanket wives in movies that, and maybe it's just us being, you know, misogynistic men that find these women to be unbearable. Or maybe it's just women in Hollywood in general. There's not many good roles for them, but like there's so many of those. George McFly from Back to the Future.
Explain yourself.
He's such a wimp, and you're just waiting for him to punch Biff in the face, and it's like...
Yeah, there's a very faint echo, but yeah. I think it's fine.
Such a climactic moment. Yeah. Through most of the movie, you just hate him. And then even when he gets back to the dance, that redheaded kid steps in.
Yeah.
Scram, McFly.
Yeah. They're like, oh, I just beat up, like, my ultimate nemesis, but, you know, this random jerk is going to take the girl from me? Like,
yeah.
No.
Yeah. Casey Affleck in Good Will Hunting. This was kind of a deep one, a deep find for me, I feel like. If you think about his character, he's always like, he's like,
jerking
no,
off.
I'm not going out. I'm not fighting. I'm not going to do it. And then like Ben Affleck has to threaten him. Or when he's like, give me my double burger. Ben Affleck paid for the burger. I'm not giving you your burger, you little bitch. And then he waits for Matt Damon not to show up to work so he can finally get into the shotgun position in the car. That was the...
Okay.
Yeah. He's tough. Okay. And my last one was Maury from Goodfellas.
How do you know?
He keeps asking for money from Robert De Niro.
It was his idea. Go ahead. I will defend this one.
Listen.
It was his idea.
It was, and he had a purpose. But like, what do you expect when you're trying to hamstring a gangster? He's going to kill you.
Yeah. But
go ahead. Feel free to argue with us.
He's being an unconscionable ball breaker. I mean, it was his idea. He came up with the idea. So what do you want him to do?
Well, he's just annoying. Once again, he fits into one of my categories. Like it's not like he doesn't have a point, but
I do love when they kill him. Do you hear about those? Like, oh, we're gonna go to the diner. Do they got Danish over there? Who asked that? And then, do you hear about the points we were shaving up in Boston College? Ice pick back of the head. Done.
But yeah, that was my list.
I got one for you. What do you got? I got a couple. Okay. But the one I wanted to bring up is another one that I don't think many people would consider. As soon as my kids stop screaming. Okay. Bruce Almighty.
Yep. Jennifer Aniston.
Steve.
Morgan Freeman.
Oh.
You mean God?
You hate God?
Yeah, God.
He is such a narcissistic asshole in that movie.
I mean,
tell me I'm wrong.
God.
He's like, oh, you want to be God? Okay, here you go. No guidebook, just have fun. Like a
unstable man.
This fucking clown thinks he can be God. Okay, you can't be me. Right. Have fun. And then just pops in once he destroys the world and he's like, fucking told you, dude.
Do you think Morgan Freeman had a guidebook when he started out day one?
Shawshank Redemption, Driving Miss Daisy? Hell no.
I'm pretty sure they have orientation.
I'm just saying, I love Morgan Freeman. Love Morgan Freeman, and I love that movie.
It is a good movie.
But I just feel like he's an asshole in that
movie. And the Sabres win the Stanley Cup in that movie. So.
Oh, yeah.
So everybody wins. So,
That I want to ask you guys how you feel about it. How do you feel about... and I want to know what you, Phil, think about it because we watched this movie together. But how do you feel about Rachel from The Dark Knight?
Rachel. How do I feel?
10 out of 10 would smash.
Ew. I actually really liked her in that movie. But this
Maggie,
might be just being
Maggie Gyllenhaal or Maggie Katie Gyllenhaal? Holmes?
Gyllenhaal.
I thought she
would
really
smash, really?
Yes, absolutely. You wouldn't?
I don't know. She seems annoyed.
I'd make her wear the Batman mask too.
So,
I am Batman.
In this movie, yes, I do think she sucks. That's a great call, Joe John. One that I wasn't really thinking about. But yeah, I mean, she told Bruce Wayne that if ever a day came, they would go together, run away together. And then she was like, nope, just kidding. Not going to do that.
Hey, she didn't want to wait anymore. She found herself
deep. She was done waiting.
So here's the thing.
She was done waiting.
No. So I understood the dilemma in terms of them all seeing the picture as more than just themselves and their relationship. Like she realized that Batman was more important to the world than her and Bruce's relationship in and of
itself.
Amen,
Stevie P.
You know what I'm saying? So she, although she that moment came, and you could tell from the way she reacts and the way she talks that she wanted to do exactly what she said they should do. But she also realized that overall Gotham needed Bruce.
So you nominate her and then you talk her off the ledge.
Joe John did.
I didn't. No, I nominated her for smashing. Okay. I did not nominate her for this.
I think
I said I liked her.
I think it turned out better for Christian Bale's Batman because he gets to smash Anne Hathaway in that cat suit. So
what a rebound, right?
I thought you were going to talk about I thought you were going to say the French chick.
That Mary too,
Cotillard or whatever it was.
Which is honestly one of my top five actress Hollywood crushes.
Marion Cotillard exposes herself a number of times.
Is Anne Hathaway on that list?
Anne Hathaway in that cat suit, getting on the motorcycle.
Selma Hayek.
Selma Hayek. That's a
discussion. Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Discussion for another day. That's a.
Carrie Underwood, Sydney Sweeney. Sorry, I'm done.
So it's time to bring out the big gun. So are we putting?
Wait, speaking of Hollywood crushes, can I just ask one quick question, Bill? Yes. Have you ever jerked Gherkin to the thought or the sight?
Yes,
of Rose's boobs.
Me?
Who's Rose's?
Did you say Phil?
Bill.
I don't think I have.
Yes.
That's my debate right there.
And I'll just say that summers when you're home alone and you're in eighth grade and there's HBO and and it's
you like to be emotional when you jerk
off.
Movie
marathon. You got to know. You got to know when the hot points are and when they're coming up and when to get yourself ready.
So. Microwave the banana peel.
All of a sudden, he climaxes and a shot of Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
Oh, he times it perfectly.
God.
God damn it, Jack.
Yeah.
I got one more. I don't think this one has a shot in the dark compared to the ones we've brought up so far for the next slot. But National Treasure, Diane Kruger, Abigail Chase.
She's just in the first one?
Yeah, she's just annoying. She creates her own hostage situation. She's like, these guys are stealing the Declaration of Independence. Let me single-handedly go stop them. Yeah. Let me scold them like a Karen in the middle of the road because that'll work. Excuse me, you can't do that.
Those are great movies.
Stupid.
Enough with this side quest talk. It's time for the big dog. That is Jenny from Forrest.
Jenny.
What a slut,
Jenny.
Yeah, and I'll take care of the AIDS baby, Jenny. So, I mean, it's tough to combat this thought when Family Guy has made a bit about how shitty Jenny is to Forrest.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, hey, Forrest, I'm going to do drugs and share needles with a bunch of these hippies. Okay, Jenny, I'm going to go get a train run on me by these Black Panthers. Okay, Jenny. And I don't need to get into it. But
do we think that she contracted AIDS pre? No.
She didn't have AIDS.
Fucking Forrest or after?
She didn't have AIDS.
What did she have then?
It was supposed to be hepatitis. God,
it's the herpal AIDS.
I'm not positive that is correct.
I am. Listen to the rewatchables. Listen to the rewatchables.
Did Jenny
have AIDS?
It's never confirmed what she has, but it is alluded.
She didn't get AIDS until after she gave birth to Junior.
So it's never confirmed what she has. It's alluded to AIDS in the movie, but apparently the book, it's hepatitis.
Well, this is
so she fucked a monkey.
Yeah, but this is Robert Zemeckis literally said it could have been, but it didn't matter whether it was AIDS related or not. So that's the director of the movie. I'm just going to say that. It's not.
Kind of does matter.
Now it does, apparently. So anyway,
you know, there's medicines.
So,
times of the month. But
now it matters. Yeah.
My question goes to like how much of a piece of shit she was. Like, was she sick prior to Forrest impregnating her, or did she get it afterwards? Because I felt like after he impregnated her, she sort of like lost her free swinging kind of ways.
That's what happened.
So I would assume it was before.
So Forrest just didn't contract it.
Yeah. Which, I mean...
Well, you know, he's got something that cancels it out.
Tism.
Yep.
What cancels it out?
The tism.
Oh. Paper beats rock. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. He's got a touch of the tism. So...
The Dacian.
Yeah.
Just a slight tism. Yeah.
But
I never heard it presented that way. That was so funny.
Oh, it's Theo Vaughn.
That dude is hilarious until he does stand up, in my opinion.
Yeah.
His stand up is boring to me, but him just talking to people on his podcast is fucking hilarious.
That's where it came from. He's talking about
a kid he went to school with. For how wild he is, too.
Yeah. He was talking about a kid he went to school with, and he's like, his name was like Todd or something, but they called him Tut, King Tut. And he just would stay in a blanket fort all day, and they'd like slide pictures to him under the blankets of what was going on through the day. And it was like, he had a touch of the tism. But so
my favorite kind of weed was, cocaine.
The thing with Jenny that pisses me off the most about her, it's not even the AIDS, to be honest with you. The potential of AIDS. It is, you got pregnant from somebody who multiple times throughout your life was like, I love you, I love you, I love you, and like was there for you, wanted to be there for you, wanted to, you know, love you and support you and be that husband. And you had his child and you didn't say shit about it until that kid was like six. And that was because you were dying. Like, first of all, let me see the DNA test on that kid, because I mean.
Well, no, they tilted their heads the same way.
Oh yeah, that makes it. That's it. But I mean, let me see the DNA test, because we all know.
Well, I totally agree with you, Phil. Related to, I think that's the most egregious part of her actions, is that, because I think the way that they're trying to explain it was that Forrest wasn't available because he ran for whatever it was 3 years, right? He was just constantly running. So Jenny never had any opportunity to communicate with him, but the kid is 6 years old, I believe.
What about the other 3 years?
Yeah. She had plenty of time, and it is a little bit inexcusable. It's like you wait until you have this disease that is potentially terminal to introduce him to his father.
Right.
Yeah.
And I get it. Like, so I actually have been thinking a lot about this because of doing the podcast, and like she was sexually abused by her dad, right? I mean, he was always kissing and touching her and her sisters. He was a loving man, and like, okay, so that was going on, and like, yeah, I'm sure Jenny had a bit of a rough and tumble, she's got some demons and some skeletons. Well, about skeletons, but she's got some trauma in there.
Some mileage.
She's got some baggage. Yeah. All right. And
a lot of miles.
She's had some grapes and
do you have any doubts that it's Forrest's kit?
I do, yeah. I just said that.
Yes, absolutely.
I don't.
It's not Forrest's kid.
I mean, there's some doubt because she is a whore, but
she is.
The kid's name is Forrest. This is one hell of a ruse to pull to name the kid Forrest, and it not be after his dad.
So Lynn and I have a kid and name it Joey Jr. Does that mean it's your kid?
She could want it to be Forrest's kid. Doesn't mean it is.
And
Philip, believe me, I understand that you can name a kid whatever you want it to do. And don't you dare bring up banging my wife in front of me. Okay.
Can't let that slide on the podcast.
I'll burn this 3-4 down.
I'll keep that for later tonight. But anyway, I do think that like your point about, like, see, like, what if that kid was like David and then she sees him on TV, like running, and oh yeah, he's got a ton of money. And she's just like, I'm going to name him Forrest. He got a daddy named Forrest too. Like, no, but I mean, as far as you know, it holds about as much weight as her having AIDS.
Yeah. Well, it's immaterial for this part of the discussion. Either way, I think she is the George Washington of this.
She is the George Washington. And
can somebody make a Maury skit for Forrest Gump? He just takes off again. You are not the father.
No, it's perfect. You are not. And then it's just him just running.
It's just the him driveway. Sprinting.
Yeah. The cameraman's trying to chase him.
Yeah. No. My favorite.
And Jenny's just sitting there.
My favorite gift was him when he first takes off and he's running like out the driveway, like onto the road. And it's like me leaving the bathroom at the 8th grade dance after hearing, and it was playing Back That Ass Up, the do 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 do. It's like yep, yeah. Pretty much. classic Philip Allen.
So who we got? We got Grandpa Joe, we got
Grandpa Jenny. Joe.
Who are the other in contention? We have Seth. We have Rose. Yep.
I like Rose and Rachel McAdams up there.
Yeah.
I would put Seth up in there. I think that was a great answer. And
okay. Yeah.
And maybe we're too misogynistic to add three damaged women to
Okay. So if we have to
too soon post election,
if we
on this podcast, we hate women.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Well, them all out.
I will throw my hat in for the know-it-all on the Polar Express. I know you guys haven't seen it too many times, but yeah. If you watch it this
Christmas, he is annoying. He is a very annoying character.
Annoying.
Mm. So,
but how do we define this Mount Rushmore?
It's the people that we hate the most. I would be fine with see Seth.
It's tough.
Seth,
that's the problem I have too, because it's a great point that CVP made. But if we're defining people we hate the most, I can't put.
We don't hate them. Yeah,
I don't hate them.
I fucking hate them.
Sounds like an honorable man.
Not as much as I hate Rose or Rachel McAdams, Allie. I think her name is Allie. I can't fucking stand them.
Yeah. So.
No love from Tommy from Shawshank?
No, I mean, that was a good call.
Or what's her face from Harry Potter? We disqualified them. Dude.
Oh my god.
We gotta disqualify her. She's the antagonist in Order of the Phoenix.
That's such a good fucking call though. I can't stand her. Yeah, I don't know if you can hear this.
Honey.
Lil. Yep.
Lil. Dolores Umbridge in Harry Potter. Pink lady. The pink lady.
The pink lady?
She's like, oh, that's fucking... Hate her.
So
universally hated. That's how you know you crushed the cast. So, and the writer.
Are we good with three then?
Yeah, I don't know with... I'm not... I like the point about Seth.
A lot of feedback.
I like the point about Seth. I just don't... I can't put him above those two.
So who's number four again?
Grandpa Joe.
So we got Grandpa Joe. We've got Rose. We've got Jenny.
And Allie.
I despise that.
Why?
I despise that. I don't think she's a hateable character.
Wait, what would you just say? So you can hate her and still want to smash her, Joey Perry's.
Rachel McAdams is right there with Marion Cotillard. Yes, right in the top five.
You know what I'm saying? I feel like if you put the blinders on, a lot more
sometimes
easy
it's
to
better
hate.
If you hate them.
I think if you were to say to any normal, not normal person, we're all normal men here, any rando off the street, who are like your top four, or like here was our top four. People be like, the chick from The Notebook, you hate her? I don't know if she's universally hated enough.
Okay.
I feel like they masked it very well with the cast.
So do you go Upham or Rachel McAdams?
I would go Upham or The Notebook.
I haven't seen it enough to...
I'll play you one clip and then you can just...
You're like, fucking punch that kid in the face.
So, I mean, saving... What's more popular, Saving Private Ryan or Polar Express? Both have Tom Hanks.
That's actually true. We've named a lot of Tom Hanks movies and Robert Zemeckis movies.
Yeah. Maybe there's something to that.
Yeah. There might be something
to that. I'm going to let you two deliberate. My call's on Allie, and I have a banger saved up for my honorable mention because I was told okay. We can use a TV show for the honorable mention.
I want to get to the honorable mention here. And
yeah,
start
you know what? It doesn't matter to me. Throw it on there. I'll still pull it to her.
I would say Upham over Polar Express. Annoying guy from Polar Express. I would say Upham over that.
Yeah, I'm cool with Upham. I mean, guy is horrible.
Okay, so now we've got our Mount Rushmore: Grandpa Joe, Upham from Saving Private Ryan, Jenny, and Rose. Or Rose is second. Jenny is definitely George Washington in that. So as far as the honorable mentions, when we were coming up with this idea, Stevie P was like, oh, I know exactly who on this show, on that show. It's like we're talking movies, not shows. So I told him we could do one person from a show as an honorable mention. I know Joey Barry's has one. I even got one. It's a little different, though, because I wasn't in that train of thought. I was in the movie train. So, Stevie P, you've been itching. Lay it on us.
I have been itching. And I had an internal debate with myself. So the runner-up was Sansa Stark from Game of Thrones. I fucking hate her. I fucking hate her. There's not a single thing about that character that I enjoyed. I was hoping they would kill her off by the third season. But the one that takes the cake for me is Skyler from Breaking Bad. She is a fucking cunt. There's not a single piece of that woman that I enjoy in that fucking show. Not a single piece. She's ugly. She's a fucking cunt. She is super controlling. She is extremely narcissistic. And
it's going in.
The worst part is she's like wrong about everything the entire time. The only thing that she did that was positive was play a stupid slut to get her the tax
Stevie,
guy.
When you said you knew nothing about her, that was the scene I was thinking of. I'm like, I actually loved her in that scene.
That was the one scene where I was like, that was a cool move. You subtract that one scene, she sucks. Not a single thing about her in that show is good. Can't stand her.
Okay.
I hate her. I hate that character so much. If I saw her in the streets, I'd be like, fuck you, Skyler.
I've never watched Breaking Bad, so I have nothing to contribute there.
You hear this a lot where, like, Jenny and Skyler are like the two most hated women characters like ever. And I think we hate Skyler because we love Walt and we're always rooting for Walt. And Walt is, and you could say the same thing for like Carmella in The Sopranos. You're married to an anti-hero. He's doing terrible things. She's sort of the conscious of it all. Should she have fucked Ted? I don't know. But he was breaking the law significantly, and I don't know what else we wanted her to do. She is definitely annoying. I disagree that she's ugly. I actually kind of find her attractive a little bit.
That would hate fuck.
I think her sister is actually much more annoying. Ooh. Marie.
Ooh. I could see that argument.
Almost every scene that she's in, I'm always like, this is the worst part of this episode.
The little klepto.
Right?
My thing is, I think for me, like, I can't even see Skyler doing the things she does for her family or because it's right. It seems to me that she specifically reacts and chooses to take action just to oppose Walt. It has nothing to do like, oh, honey, you know, I know we need money and you're sick, but you don't have to make drugs. It's she has to have the control. She couldn't give a fuck about the family. It's about herself and her. I feel like she wants to have control over the family. She wants to be the head honcho. So she just opposes everything Walt does, questions everything he does.
So I think that we
rips that man apart in every capacity.
We've come to a common theme amongst this 3-4 session is that we don't appreciate strong-willed women.
I don't.
The strong-willed women that are wrong.
I don't think it's one way or another.
Jenny is not strong-willed.
It's tough. She's
submissive and breedable. That's what we're looking for.
We root for Walt, so we were opposed to her because we sort of like want her to give Walt her approval on what he's doing, and she never really does. She goes along with it somewhat. She opposes him somewhat. You could actually make the case that she's kind of the antagonist of that show a little bit. Because he's always
doing everything
in opposition of what she's trying to do. So, yeah.
Okay.
But it's a great point. It's a very unique character. Because it's a strong character that they developed out of it. It's not just sort of subservient, which is like what Carmella is to Tony, especially in the early seasons. But I agree with it. From a misogynistic man, yeah, she's a little bit of a see you next Tuesday.
But see, so my counter to that point would be I'm going to bring back up Game of Thrones because this is the first thing that comes to my mind. Is Ned Stark's wife. She has the same traits where she's like, you know, you can't be doing this, you shouldn't do that. But I really do think it's because she cares and she puts the family first. So it's not necessarily just the headstrong, opinionated woman. It's more how they go about it, I would say. Does that make sense? Because do you see what I'm saying? So, like, what's her freaking name in the show?
Callan.
Callan Stark? Yeah. She She is a very strong type A woman. She easily led that family from behind the scenes after Ned got his head chopped off. But you still love her as a character, even in the books. Like, you still root for her throughout the whole thing. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a single moment in time outside of that one scene where I was like, yeah, Skylar.
If Skylar never slept with Ted, never cheated on Walt, would you have the same opinion?
Yes.
Okay. So do you have one, Joey Berries?
I could, if I never really thought too much about this, but one that came up when I was researching was I was trying to think of my favorite movies of all time, and I was also trying to think of my favorite shows of all time, or just popped in my head was The Sopranos, and it's not Carmella. I don't hate Carmella. The most annoying character in that show is Janice Soprano. Janice is the worst person ever. She's annoying. She's a leech.
Never watch The Sopranos.
What's that actress's name?
I have no idea what her name is. I've never seen her in anything else.
Let me see. I'm going to look it up.
But like, I don't think anybody. So I would wonder if she has many other credits, because like, I don't see how anybody could ever see that woman as anything but Janice Soprano. It's once again when I see those scenes with her, it's like my least favorite scenes. I'll fast forward through it or whatever. It's not part of the show that I'd love to watch. And I think that's how I sort of define this category that we created here. So,
okay,
Janice Soprano, you're out.
Joe John, do you got one? A TV character?
I didn't think about it until we just started talking about this, so I wasn't very like focused on TV characters, but I have I know Stevie P said Sansa Stark. That's immediately who I thought about when we talked about this, but I also not to pick another woman, maybe I'm gonna go with Bran Stark. Because I think he is he's equally as useless, but he has all this knowledge and shit. And they don't even have him in a season. That's how irrelevant he is as a character. But they make him king at the end. So
I totally agree with you, Joe John. That's yes. He is useless because he's in a wheelchair too. But yeah, he has all this knowledge, and you're right. They don't utilize that much at all until towards the end.
He doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
Well, you can very clearly tell when they went freelancing as opposed to the actual novel content, because it's like his character, you felt like the first few seasons actually had a point, and it wasn't very clear, but like he had a very specific role and it was important. And then after like the fourth I think it was after the fourth season, it's like,
yeah, he wasn't in season five at all. And then all of a sudden he just was fucking weird and creepy with his sister Sansa. Like when he's like, yeah, by the way, I saw you get R'd at your wedding. You were beautiful that night. And she's just like, oh, it's great seeing you. I haven't seen you in years. Good to know you're alive. And then she just walks away creeped out. That's basically who he is as a character until he becomes king.
You watch me get sodomized from a omniscient point of view.
Oh, and thank God he sends fucking birds to just look around when they're getting invaded during the long night.
And then he has the gall at the very end to say, yeah, why do you think I'm here? I want to be king.
Yeah, so he could see the future like, too, and he didn't do shit. So, Bran, when you mentioned Skylar, I didn't have enough time to look into this to remember if I actually hated this character or not, but it did remind me that I think I used to really hate Wendy Bird from Ozarks.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
But I couldn't fully remember.
I hate her a little bit less.
I was trying to find the notes.
I think
she's very similar to Skylar, but she started to turn a bit for me when she got on the same page.
Yeah.
So I think that there's something psychological with us being men and seeing that these characters are cheating on the guys that we are supposed to be rooting for, and Marty Bird as well, Walter White. And it's literally the first scene. We see her getting railed by her accountant or whatever. And I think from then on out, we're always rooting against her because we're holding that against her. And just like with Skylar, because she's not faithful to White, I feel like there's something subconsciously that we're were hating on her for doing that. Where like in society too, like when you see a protagonist of a Tony Soprano, of whatever, if they cheat on their wives or they get with another woman, we sort of see that as triumphant. And I think that's just because we're guys. There's not much else to say.
I could see that. For me personally, I don't think like the cheating that makes it more of a believable relationship. I don't necessarily hold that against the character, but it's just like, you know, it makes them appear more human. Like, it's not a perfect relationship. Obviously there's issues. They're going to cheat. So, it's their attitude and their actions and their choices after.
Not to
that drive me nuts.
Not to damp or wet blanket this old-fashioned men beating off on women circle here. But my character is actually a male.
Thank God.
Somebody, well, I mean, I haven't
technically say Wendy Bird. I wanted to bring it up.
Okay. So I, so the show Peaky Blinders, there's one that I hate and hold zero redeeming qualities, and that would be Lizzie, if anybody watches Peaky Blinders.
Lizzie
sucks. And but the man that I was thinking, it's somebody, it's love or hate, and it's Alfie. I love Tom Hardy. I want to be Tom Hardy, but there's times in that show where you're like, that you love him, and then immediately it comes crashing down.
He's kind of the antagonist, though.
He's not. Because in the last, he's like very much on their team now.
I know, but throughout, you never know what he's
thinking. He's not the main. He's only ever in like two episodes a season. But so like, what did we just watch? Season
three? You honestly can't understand the goddamn word he's saying most of the time.
I know, I love it. He's so great. Oh, but, Shalom, Arthur. Shalom.
Why don't you like him? Honestly, because
oh no, he is love or hate, and it's so. I mean, when Tommy shoots him because he
spoiler.
What
spoiler?
Not really, but because of the whole Changreta thing, and like in season two, where he's like on Tommy's side, and then basically tries to kill Arthur, and gets them put in jail and almost hung and killed. So like, yeah, he does everything for himself. So season two, season three, season four, it's like you love him and you're like, all right, great, he's on their team. And then it's like, oh, nope, he just stabbed them in the back.
But that's why I'm saying he's kind of like the antagonist. He's like,
but he's not the main. In season two, it's Sabini. In season three, it's the Russians. And then in season four, it's Changreta. So he's not the main antagonist.
I get that, but I think we've already defined. But yeah, all right, you can pick it, but I think we already defined it as like if they're working in any way in opposition of the protagonist, then they're considered the antagonist. One of them.
But he's with them until he's not, and then it's like shit. But
yeah.
I do love him. He's by far my favorite character on the show. But you hate him. All right. Does that wrap it up?
You want to recap the Mount Rushmore?
What about the Stifler in American Pie?
So, I mean, Stevie, that's absolutely not my answer because I love Stifler, the Stiffmeister. My answer is Oz. Oz is the worst character.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I could see that. Absolutely.
He can't sing. He bails on his lacrosse team. He's dopey. He's dull.
Yeah.
Tread lightly. He's just kind of lame.
Okay. I was going to say, tread lightly, because I had a big crush.
I would definitely take Stifler over Oz.
What was that, Phil?
I would take Stifler.
I was going to say, tread lightly, because I had a big crush on the girl. What's her?
Which one?
His girl? The girl that...
Oh, you mean, yeah.
What's her real name? I always want to... It's. I want to say it's Mira Sorvino, but it's not.
Yeah, from American Beauty. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So...
Yeah, but I mean, it has nothing to do with the girl. He's just lame.
I thought you were going to say that, and his girlfriend's ugly.
Have you ever tried to get a blowjob from your wife or girlfriend or whatever by saying, suck me beautiful?
Have you?
I have.
And?
I can't say I have.
Don't you want to love me sexy?
But, no, so Stevie, so you don't like this Stiffmeister?
No, I do. But I feel like if someone made that argument, I could see why.
Well, once
again, because I feel like to the average person, he could just be very annoying. Yeah.
Well, he's annoying, but I think he's very entertaining. And the way I looked at this idea of this podcast was when I'm watching the movie or the show, are they the least part, my least favorite part? Do I want to fast forward? Is it boring to me? And that's sort of how I approach this. And I think Stiffmeister is probably the best
part. Most my favorite part of the movies. Yeah. He's the most entertaining part of the American Pie movies.
And so to recap, I mean, if you're going to fast forward through Rose and Jenny, you might as well just not watch those two movies.
Yeah. It's a tough. Yeah.
And Grandpa Joe. And I mean, Upham, same thing. I mean, those are. I like that, and I think that creates the Mount Rushmore thought where it's like you can't skip past it because you would not watch the entire thing. So I think that.
Well, then I got two.
Seals it.
From the MCU alone, anything with Captain Marvel in it.
True.
She came up a lot. Brie
Larson just sucks.
She's searching online.
She just sucks.
That and Thor. Thor got some hate too, which I kind of agree with.
Ragnarok is good.
Ragnarok was
the after.
I liked,
and then She
Love and Thunder just
like one of the worst movie, one of the shows I've ever watched was She-Hulk. Just terrible.
Okay, well,
do I stay away from the Marvel universe?
It's got its moments.
Well, we got
Agatha all along with amazing.
At least we got one more shot in at a woman character.
Yeah, mine are strictly women outside of Seth.
Valkyrie sucks. So anyway, basically, yeah, that does it for us.
Thanks for tuning in, listener. Yeah.
And Frank. Terrible.
The girl in the red coat in Schindler's List.
Did Hillary Clinton ever act in anything? Because she'll be my
shouldn't be number one off the bat. Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, thank you all for stopping in and listening to us. We now need to go to the women or websites that we love. And give them some attention because we just dumped on the opposite sex for the past hour and a half. So
I love women. Don't get me wrong.
I love a woman. That's for sure.
I love
two extremes. Two extremes.
Yeah. I only love my bed and my mama. I'm sorry.
Just make decisions quicker, ladies. That's all.
Yeah. That's all we're asking.
And stop cheating.
Stop cheating. So with that being said, have a great evening. We love you. Take care. God bless. Go Bills. And we will see you out there next time. Peace.
Tree Fort Gang is an Audio Boom original podcast. Edison is written by Aaron Sprinkle and is produced and performed by Soul Shifters.